Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. On behalf of our family of hosts, staff, and the millions of listeners who have tuned in since 2009, we want to wish you happy holidays and ask for your support as we launch our daily in-house news coverage. Please consider making us a part of your end-of-year giving in 2013. Your membership donation is tax-deductible and the best way to show you believe in our work and the importance of a free, food-focused media resource. Consider donating today at heritageradionetwork.org by clicking the donate button. Thanks for your support and enjoy the show.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli. And before we get started, I do want to make a little note that this upcoming Monday at Le Picho restaurant, we're going to be doing a little happy hour from 5:30 to 7:30. So all of the drinks will be at reduced prices, and a portion of the proceeds will go to the Heritage Radio station. So hope to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And now, without further ado, I am extremely excited today. Someone on the show who I met over the summer for the first time, even though he's long been regarded as a restaurateur to look up to in the industry, Mr. Florent Morellet, the owner of the former Florent restaurant and the newly minted Bushwick resident.
Hello. Thank you for having me here, Joe. I like defunct Florent.
Defunct Florent.
The live Florent, and we talk about the defunct. Yeah.
Yeah. You said that before, and I didn't know it, and I will from now on refer to it as the defunct Florent.
Yeah, and people give you aggravation, you just say, no, that's the way Florent said it.
And so when I met you over the summer, we were here at Roberta's for a Hawaiian barbecue fundraiser for Heritage Radio. And I think this was about a month after you discovered Bushwick.
Yes.
For yourself. Yeah.
I was ready 6 months ago to leave Manhattan, not really knowing where I was going. And I had put most of my things on industrial shelves with wheels around my loft in New York. So just getting ready for the move. And a friend of mine took me around July 10th this year. He took me to Bossa Nova. And my niece and my nephew were with me. They came here for my 60th birthday. And finally, I found music that I could dance to. I mean, it's been feeling like a decade or two that the techno, the music, the house music that we played in clubs was not, you know, enticing for me to dance for too long. And I kept coming back to Bossa Nova.
When I saw you, I
couldn't stop dancing.
It was the pure joy. It was the happiest. It was like you're a man who had discovered the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, but for me, it's the New York that I love. First, the music, and second, you know, I kept going at night, walking and bicycling around Bushwick. And when I say it's the New York that I like, it's funky. It's a mix of residential and commercial. And one of the important thing, it's, you know, a lot of the housing stock is ugly, I don't think when it becomes, more people come and it becomes the G word, gentrified, as people say. People are not going to want to make it into a historic district. And the fact, you know, I mean, there is really some honky-tonk, tacky building, you know, with little statuettes, with lions and all kind of things like that. And I think, you know, gay couples with children, kind of more bourgeois than I am, and straight ones, they're not going to really like a blog that has, you know, such a cacophony. But for me, it's America. This is, you know, the America that I've always loved. From the first trip, my parents took me and my older brothers in 1967. I took a road trip from coast to coast, and
they got you in the car, and you drove.
Yeah, in the car. Yes, wow. Yes. I mean, what I love about America, it's vulgarity is an accepted form of expression. In France, it's the opposite. Being vulgarity and also a bad taste. But New York, there's my generation, and especially there's an obsession with good taste and landmark preservation.
Well, what role do you think vulgarity has in the restaurant industry? As someone who worked in it for such a long time, how can you, you know,
drag queens, for example, myself, when I look at pictures, it's vulgarity, and also it's being ridiculous. You know, there's a French expression that says, le ridicule ne tue pas, and which means if you're going to be ridiculous, it's not going to kill you. You know, and only the French has that expression, just to remind themselves that if they're a tiny bit ridiculous, they're not going to drop dead, like in the middle of the street. And so vulgarity, ridiculous, I mean, ridiculous is very similar. And my parents, you know, accept, very tolerant, and accept me being gay at 15, but being effeminate, it's been difficult for them, because it has a tendency to be ridiculous and to be not classy. And when they see pictures of me in drag, and one time they were here for Halloween, and they could not recognize me when they walked in, and it made them. It was so hard for them. Even so, they really thought, you know, the courage of me being drag was, you know, something very, very great. It beyond them, and I can say myself, you know, I look at certain pictures in drag, I say, oh my God, you know, this is so, I'm so ugly, whatever, bad taste. But people loved it. It was part of the show of the restaurant. You know, it was my job description, since I had people doing most of the tedious work. It was show up, taste the food, you know, be nice to the customers, and do drag on the high holidays.
Well, I'm positive that if I were to dress up in drag, it would be the most ridiculous and vulgar thing you've ever seen.
No. You're young and cute. Okay, you'll do a very pretty drag. No, me. I mean, I did my Antoinette, you know, way past the age that she was chopped down. You know, I mean, I did drag in my 50s.
and the guests love that. But maybe, what about in a restaurant that it doesn't have the same kind of personality that Florent had? It does vulgarity and ridiculousness have a place in just a very good restaurant that maybe doesn't have the level of personality that
I mean, my restaurant didn't have that much personality. It, you know, remember, it was a diner.
Yeah,
we didn't change much of it. So but we decorated it for the high holidays, for, you know, Bastille Day, Halloween, New Year's, election night. I mean, we always had a theme. I mean, that's what people don't realize. You know, how much work it was to think of a theme for Halloween, New Year's, Bastille Day, the election nights, Wigstock. So there was at least four themes a year, 23 years. Mm-hmm. So that's 90 themes we, you know, especially me, I had to find. 90 themes.
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah, you have to close one day because you're running out of themes.
Wow. And so you came to Bossa Nova, and you decided in a very short time that Bushwick is your place based. It seems seems ridiculous.
As I was going there, you know, I would walk all night long.
Okay.
Because I love the night. I don't have a job, so you know, it's great. And then it was extraordinary. It's incredibly safe. People are pleasant. They say hello there, and it's also very, very close by mass transit to where I was living. It's only 10 minutes in the subway. And also I came during the day, and serendipitously I kept meeting wonderful people. And barely a month on August 8th, my friend Kristen Quinn, there was a house event in the building where I live now for Kristen Quinn. And on the team of Kristen, they told me, oh, why don't you go to the house event, you know, since you want to move to Bushwick? And boom, I love this building. It's called Castle Braid. It's a big, bad building. My friends to my left think it's the beginning of the end. But there's always a beginning of the end. It's called, you know, a city that's moving, that's growing.
That's the old saying about New York, that it's, you know, it's going to be a really nice place to live once they finish building it.
And it's a fun building. There's 120 apartments. And a lot of them, the bigger ones, are people are roommates. And it's high, and it's on the top of the hill, so it's five-story high, and there's a rooftop. There's a dog run on the rooftop, and lots of whimsical art, because there's an artist in residence. And the average age is 30, and probably like 350 people. It's fun. You smell grass at 3 a.m. in the corridor, and at 2 p.m. too. You know, it's like not just...
And this is a new construction?
It opened four and a half years ago. The building is very whimsical. It's just rentals. And I moved, I moved in on September 4th.
Yes.
And
is it grotesque at all?
No.
So isn't this emblematic of the G word a little bit?
But, you know, it's called... you either have a city that keeps on going down like we did in the 70s and becomes like Detroit, or it's stabilized and it's more like Philadelphia. It's not good. Philadelphia is kind of, some parts are still going down. Or it's a city that keeps on growing. We had lost over a million people. We gained the million back plus $200,000. I mean, it was terrible when we lost a million people, when 2,400 people were killed every year. And now we're repairing the subways, and the city's growing. And it's always been the young... And, you know, the bohemian life, you know, keeps moving to new areas that have to be discovered. It should not be frozen. We should be careful. You know, when the Italian came here, the German came here, there was other people before, and then Italian, and then the Hispanics. And some people say, oh, we have got to keep the neighborhoods the way they are, but... Cities are much big, you know, they're big organic features, and there are forces that are beyond us at the moment. You know, the forces are that people want to live in the cities. They're mega forces, and it is so much better than the opposite, when people wanted to live in the suburbs, and that was what was bad. What is happening now is quite exciting.
It's very exciting. All right. And on that note, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more of Florent Morellet on In the Drink.
Broke her heart today. following is an actor reading an actual customer email from Heritage Foods USA.
My family and I enjoyed the Heritage turkey. It was far superior to the regular mass-produced turkeys in terms of flavor and texture. Absolutely delicious and worth the difference in price. We will never go back to the regular turkeys. It made our holidays more enjoyable. Thank you, Heritage Foods USA.
Heritage Foods USA hopes you had a great holiday season. For more specials on pork, beef, and other meats, visit www.heritagefoodsusa.com.
The brokers, with the tables turned, it hurts much more than being broke.
Remember the author, but it's called Population Inversion.
And we're back on In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. Your host, Joe Campanelli, here with Laurent Morellet. Before we took our break, we were talking a little bit about how cities are constantly changing and moving. A lot of folks give you credit as being one of the instigators to the changes that went on in the meatpacking district and maybe even have some hope or some idea that maybe you might make a big impact in your new residence. Do you feel a lot of pressure for this? Do people ask you about this all the time?
We as a society love to pinpoint on one person or whatever changes. But if I hadn't moved, or if I had died from the measles at age 5, I don't think things that would have been very much different in the meatpacking district. It's easy for people to say, I was a pioneer and I was critical in what happened there. I don't think it would have made much difference if I had opened a restaurant in a different part. It would have happened. The thing that I can say that I help channel is, and I said a little earlier that there's too much obsession with landmarking, but I'm as usual, we're always part of the problem and the solution. I was involved in landmarking very deeply, in landmarking the meatpacking district. And I think on that, we were able, with my co-chair, Joe Hamilton, to get that done in an incredibly fast time, in 3 years from the moment we started the landmarking process. And also, we stopped dead in its track, a residential conversion right in that M15 zone. And also we kick-started one of the first pedestrian project right there. So I could say in channeling some projects that were that had an impact on that, the meatpacking district is now still a commercial nine-block area where there's clubs and bars, which a lot of people hate. Joe and I for because
you seem to get some kind of joy out of that. People hate you for this.
You know, it's, somebody said that, I don't know who, but you really know if you're doing something right if at least one person hates you for it. So, but I mean, that's one of the problems about zoning. You know, you either zone you have a choice. Either it's commercial manufacturing or it's residential. So you end up like in the meatpacking district, like paf, you got like clubs, bars, restaurant, club, bars, restaurant. And then the next block, you have Horatio Street, residential. And it's not, we should look, and I think the greater area of Bushwick would be a great place with a big zoning project to have some other zoning area.
Right, because here in Bushwick now, it's not just residential commercial, but there's also industrial zoned areas.
No, yeah, industrial, yes. So instead of having either or, we could have, okay, somewhere where it's all commercial. And then it could be, okay, this is commercial and it can be residential, but the noise level at 3 a.m. is, a maximum of, 90 decibel. Okay, and then another, half zone where at 3, you can live there, but the decibel at 3 a.m. is like 75. So you maybe create a couple of commercial, residential, in between, commercial yeah. where they could be residential, but, they have to, there is like a much higher threshold of decibel so that if young people who... Because we already had this in Bushwick with the elevator train. Myrtle Avenue is right. fantastic. That's where Bossa Nova is.
It's loud with the elevator train.
Yes. By itself, the M train running 24 hours, the people that are living there cannot complain. They cannot ask for too much. So right there we have a sort of subzone.
Well, you seem to put a lot of emphasis and weight on having a commercial. Do you think that industrial as well? Do you think it's important that we're also producing industrial or products in the area?
I mean, look, when I say commercial, it can be bar, restaurants, it can be industrial commercial. I mean, yeah. it's like
there's
it's
an M1, yeah.
it's M1. So it ends up being, it can be it can be shopping too. It can be somewhat, bug, so some things that people need. There is some needs, for small makers, even if the real estate goes up, there's still, some quality manufacturing that can always be needed. But there is so much space, commercial space, in the north, mm-hmm. At the east end of East Williamsburg and the northwest end of Bushwick, that and there's storage also, or warehousing too, is something that is always going to be needed because we gotta store food. We have
absolutely. We need. Now we are on In the Drink, and I'm so excited to have you on the show. Just as being a restaurateur, being a New Yorker, it's very exciting. But I do want to ask you about beverage, because that's what the majority of our shows are about. So first of all, how have you noticed that people's drinking habits have changed over the years from your point of view? Have your drinking habits changed over the
years?
Well,
myself, being a an alcoholic, I've there was a part of my life when I stopped, and went to 12 steps. So I know that myself. I have to be aware mm-hmm. of how much I drink. And so I'm in a period where I'm drinking more, and I've started drinking very early because in France you can still in the family.
And you're 12 or something?
Oh, probably no. 8 or 9.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, no, that's way too early.
it's very difficult to say. For me, I had a strategy in Bushwick, is to order the same thing in mm-hmm. all the bars I've been to. A Bombay, a high-end gin, Bombay and tonic, half the ice. So, and give a good tip. So, because if you ask a cheaper drink, you can leave only $1. But if you are, you pay a drink $7 or $8, you give $2. It's good, but not over the top. Mm-hmm. And then the bartenders remember you. And then, you're the guy with the Bombay and tonic, half ice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And how great and how important is it to have to something that I've learned only through working in the restaurant industry is the importance of regulars and that special bond that you can have. That it's unlike when I first started, I wanted to try every restaurant and know everything and taste everything. But after working in the restaurant industry for years and getting and bonding with our regulars, I just want that feeling where like you were saying, where the bartender recognizes you, they remember, and you have a special little bond.
Myself, people think, tell us what is the latest restaurant. They've always, thinking that because I had a restaurant where to go in Bushwick? And I'm like, no, I go to one restaurant. Pretty much, there are three bars I go to especially, but there's only one restaurant, and I went for 23 years to one restaurant, which was mine. Then in Manhattan, I went to a couple of restaurants where everybody knew my name. Mm-hmm. It's like Cheers for me. And at the moment, I go to Mominette. It's an old friend of mine, one of the owners, and then there's a new friend of mine that I've met, who's also a younger partners there, and I love at Bossa Nova. Everybody, now I'm the I'm the cool cat, the big bouncers are like, hey, buddy, because. There's my picture in the New York Times dancing there.
Oh, and that picture is just unbridled enthusiasm and happiness. You guys have to see this in the New York Times. I hope to experience that level of happiness sometime.
At my age, when you reach my age?
No, any day, any time in the near future, I'm hoping to be as happy as you are in that picture. That's awesome.
No, for me, when I was young and in France, with my parents, we went to all the new restaurants of the Nouvelle Cuisine in the mid 60s, and a little bit when I moved to New York, I was a little bit interested in the early years. I was here since 78 to early 80s, and then it's enough. It's too serious.
Yeah.
If you want to go to fine dining, and if it's good dining, and it's not expensive, then it's even more harrowing because there's lines and they don't take reservation and this and that and then you've got to go at 6 o'clock when they open. And it's too much pressure. I prefer to cook myself. I'm a mean cook. Yeah.
Yeah. Really.
I love to cook. Yes.
Are you cooking traditional French dishes from Florence?
No. I cook freestyle. I mean, when I say freestyle, I go to the supermarket or to Sea Town, which is a fresh seafood place on Myrtle and Irving, or Knickerbocker. Night serving, and then I look at the fish, what looks freshest, and then I look at the vegetables, mm-hmm. It's a bit difficult to find super, but you know, the vegetables is difficult to find quality freshness, but there's always a few things that are really fresh, and then I build my meal from that.
Is there no Bushwick Farmers Market yet?
Oh, yes.
There is, okay.
Yeah, they just finished, yeah. Oh, yes, yeah, I love them. Oh, yes, yeah,
that's Eco Station.
Eco Station is the organization. There are five farmers markets. Oh, wow. Finally, there's a farmers market two blocks from my house.
Oh, that's right.
But this is, you know, as you know, with the season, right. Yeah, we don't have it now.
Now, and I have to ask you, I'm sure this is the most annoying question, but can we expect any restaurant or bar or club with your name on it in Bushwick?
At the moment, you know, the moving is still not finished because I'm just move all the archive to a storage place. Mm-hmm. I've got a big storage space right on Metropolitan Avenue, and it's great. So I'm moving things that I have in New Jersey because it's so much archives from the restaurant and my art and everything. For me, it's going to be all about opportunities going to come and but and it will have to be with young people that you know I built a team with because I don't want to stress myself and I want to find the right partners and I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you are the right partners and you're listening, get in touch with Flora. Because I know a lot of us would love to see whatever may become of that, whenever it is.
Uh-huh, no. At the moment, you know, I'm just enjoying the neighborhood and meeting people and feeling the place. And I have the luxury to not have to earn a living right now, so.
Yes, well. Thank you so much for being on the show, Florent.
Well, thank you for having me.
This has been such a pleasure. Hopefully, we can have you back in whenever you want. Actually, but if you have something that you want to talk about, if there's a project coming out in the future, we'd love to have you back at some point.
Well, that's fun. Yes, I'm sure I will have things to talk about.
I have no doubt.
It's more difficult to shut me up.
I have no doubt. And you know, as someone who works for so many years in the industry, I have a ton of questions that I want to ask you still that we don't have time for on this show. But again, I really appreciate it. For your listeners out there, I just wanted to have a little programming note here at Heritage Radio Network. We are finishing up our end of year fundraiser. So thank you so much for your continued support by listening to the station. If you would like to make a small or very, very large donation, both are welcome. Please donate today to heritageradionetwork.org, and we appreciate it very much. And thanks so much for listening. This has been In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.